This is Classical 90.5, and that was the London Symphony Orchestra. Under the baton of Maestro Francois Xavier Roth, we heard Captured from Aaron Parker. I recently visited with Parker via Skype. He'll be here in Columbia the last week in July as part of the Mizzou International Composers Festival. Coming up later in the program, I've got guests Megan Neal and Kiernan Steiner. They're graduate students who are assisting R. Paul Crabb, our director of choral conducting here at the University of Missouri. They've got a concert tomorrow evening, Looking Back to the Future. We'll have details about that and music from the choral ensemble Prometheus that Crabb and Emily Edgington Andrews lead. We've also got music from marimbist Julia Gaines, and we'll hear from Peter Miyamoto, solo piano music from Franz Schubert, and a pair of works still to come from composer Aaron Parker. That's still ahead tonight on Mizzou Music on Classical 90.5. For folks who don't know Aaron Parker, can you describe your music? Can the English language possibly encompass a description of what you're trying to do?
Oh, it's difficult, isn't it? Words and music. Yeah, it's the ongoing battle. Well, I guess there are a number of things which run through my music, which are sort of underlying each piece. And it's very, when you listen to different pieces, probably from any composer, or indeed look at different works of art from different artists, you get a feeling that sometimes they can look quite different or they can sound quite different from piece to piece. And that's currently where I'm at with pieces, and things can turn out quite radically different from piece to piece, but underlying all those things are a set of principles or investigations that are becoming quite interesting. And one of them is, just after I left university, I decided, or maybe even just as I was finishing my degree, I decided that I really needed to ask some quite fundamental questions about what it meant to write music, why I was writing the music I was writing, what it meant to put something into notation, and the relationship with, also I work with a lot with electronics, and I sort of started asking questions about sort of the structure of music. And really what I'm doing now for the last 5 years comes out of studies of the environment in different ways and place, really. I mean, I love to be in the landscape, and I think I've never quite been able to make the relationship between the outside world and writing a composed piece of music until a couple of years ago, and I thought, I'm going to study the way that sounds seem to inhabit the world in some way and just simply write them down in a very, I'm a very simple person, so I just made a study of environmental sound in various different locations, mostly outdoor, but some indoor locations.
Okay, so give me some examples.
So I spent about 2 hours in a woodland down in Hampshire County, which is just south of London, just noting down the sounds which were in that environment, their frequency, as in how often they occur, but maybe also their high and low. And the thing that I noticed was that there actually weren't too many sounds that happened just once. Everything seemed to be in a kind of continuum, and that this might have some kind of implication with how we hear the world, and that might provide some kind of format or template, really, for how one goes about writing a piece of music. And I did. I repeated that in quite a different sort of place. I repeated that in an airport because I was on the way to somewhere. And I just got my microphone, my little Zoom H2N or whatever it is, out and recorded it. And then later on sat down with a notebook and wrote down all the sounds I heard. And I couldn't find a single sound that was unique. Everything seemed to be in a kind of continuous loop. And I find this fascinating. And at the time, without sounding too sort of overblown or whatever, I sort of thought, well, if that's the reality, if that's the sonic sort of environment that we live in, that seems to throw up lots of questions that are quite interesting to explore in composed music for, you know, the concert hall or an installation or whatever you're doing. So that really is the starting point for most of my music, dealing with repetition, the balance between stasis and transformation, and very often one can be mistaken for the other. And so that's sort of the structural basis from which I work. And the other thing is a lot of the sort of tonality that's in the music comes from quite a different place, comes from influences from sort of modal musics from various places around the world, and also from jazz and from various popular music and electronic genres. So it's a bit of a fusion, but as far as taking those environmental studies as a template for structure and how you might deal with ideas to do with circularity, repetition, stasis, and transformation, really kind of key to every piece.
Tell me about the piece that you submitted for the world premiere here in Missouri end of next month.
So this piece is called Atholhu, which is what I thought was an invented word. Most of my titles these days are kind of semi-poetic invented words that are meant to maybe be slightly evocative, but essentially mean nothing, and you can just use that as a tag. It turned out to be a Maldivian word for a string of coral islands, or an atoll, I guess. So the piece is called Atholhu, and it's in six movements, or six islands. And it deals with these two things. One is a kind of exploration of circularity, repetition, and taking all those things as musical. Every layer of the piece deals with kind of loops that don't line up with each other. So as the performance goes on, you get a gradually transforming landscape of loops. There's essentially three layers of activity. You get a conducted ensemble, so people following Alan's beat. Then you have an unconducted part who make no attempt to synchronize and who are totally independent of the conductor except for a cue to end the movement. And then kind of halfway house, which are independently synchronized parts, which are usually just two or three players who play something totally unrelated to either of the other two layers, which they coordinate amongst themselves. So the very first movement is the three brass players playing only on their mouthpieces. In fact, they play only on their mouthpieces for almost all of the piece. Only briefly do they use their actual instrument.
That's British-based composer Aaron Parker, looking ahead to a work that will be premiered here in Columbia by Alarm Will Sound on Saturday, July 28th.